Well, good Thursday to you all, and welcome to this 13th day of May, day 133 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, someone who shows up with you each day to spend some time in the Bible. We come to the Bible each day not because it's a magic book that is dropped down from heaven for us, but because these pages have been used by God's followers to be drawn into relationship and into an encounter with the God who is love. These pages will instruct us. They offer us God's wisdom. They show us God's heart, ultimately revealed in the face of Jesus. He is the final word. And so these pages we read are driving us, dragging us, joyfully pointing us to Him. He is the telos, He is the point of it all. And so today we look into the book of 2 Samuel 24, 1 Chronicles 21, Psalm 30, and we finish our reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Father, thank you for your word. It is a light to our path that leads us to your Son. 2 Samuel 24. Once again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he caused David to harm them by taking a census. "Go and count the people of Israel and Judah," the Lord told him. So the king said to Joab and the commanders of the army, "Take a census of all the tribes of Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, so I may know how many people there are." But Joab replied to the king, "May the Lord your God let you live to see 100 times as many people as there are now." "But why, my lord the king, do you want to do this?" But the king insisted that they take the census. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out to count the people of Israel. First they crossed the Jordan and camped at Aroer, south of the town in the valley, in the direction of Gad. Then they went on to Gezer, then to Gilead in the land of Tahatim, Hodishi, and to Danjan, and around to Sidon. Then they came to the fortress of Tyre and all the towns of the Hivites and Canaanites. Finally they went south to Judah as far as Beersheba. Having gone through the entire land for 9 months and 20 days, they returned to Jerusalem. Joab reported the number of people to the king. There were 800,000 capable warriors in Israel who could handle a sword, and 500,000 in Judah. But after he had taken the census, David's conscience began to bother him, and he said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly by taking this census. Please forgive my guilt, Lord, for doing this foolish thing." The next morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, who was David's seer. This was the message. "Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I will give you 3 choices. Choose one of these punishments, and I will inflict it on you." So Gad came to David and asked him, "Will you choose 3 years of famine throughout your land, 3 months of fleeing from your enemies, or 3 days of severe plague throughout your land? Think this over and decide what answer I should give the Lord who sent me." "I'm in a desperate situation," David replied to Gad. "But let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. Do not let me fall into human hands." So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel that morning, and it lasted for 3 days. A total of 70,000 people died throughout the nation, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. But as the angel was preparing to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord relented and said to the death angel, "Stop, that is enough." At that moment, the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. When David saw the angel, he said to the Lord, "I am the one who has sinned and done wrong, but these people are innocent as sheep. What have they done? Let your anger fall against me and my family." That day, Gad came to David and said to him, "Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." So David went up to do what the Lord had commanded him. When Araunah saw the king and his men coming toward him, he came and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. "Why have you come, my lord the king?" Araunah asked. David replied, I have come to buy your threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord there, so that he will stop the plague. Take it, my lord the king, and use it as you wish, Araunah said to David. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and you can use the threshing boards and ox yokes for wood to build the fire and the altar. I will give it all to you, your majesty, and may the Lord your God accept your sacrifice. But the king replied to Araunah, No, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. David built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and a peace offering. And the Lord answered his prayer for the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. 1 Chronicles 21. Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the army, Take a census of all the people of Israel, from Beersheba in the south to Dan in the north, and bring me a report, so I may know how many there are. But Joab replied, May the Lord increase the number of his people 100 times over. But why, my lord the king, do you want to do this? Are they not all your servants? Why must you cause Israel to sin? But the king insisted that they take the census. So Joab traveled throughout all Israel to count the people. Then he returned to Jerusalem and reported the number of people to David. There were 1,100,000 warriors in all Israel who could handle a sword, and 470,000 in Judah. But Joab did not include the tribes of Levi and Benjamin in the census because he was so distressed at what the king had made him do. God was very displeased with the census, and he punished Israel for it. Then David said to God, I have sinned greatly by taking this census. Please forgive my guilt for doing this foolish thing. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer. This was the message. Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I will give you 3 choices. Choose one of these punishments, and I will inflict it on you. So Gad came to David and said, These are the choices the Lord has given you. You may choose 3 years of famine, 3 months of destruction by the sword of your enemies, or 3 days of severe plague, as the angel of the Lord brings devastation throughout the land of Israel. Decide what answer I should give the Lord who sent me. I am in a desperate situation, David replied to Gad. But let me fall on the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. Do not let me fall into human hands. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 people died as a result. And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But just as the angel was preparing to destroy it, the Lord relented and said to the death angel, Stop! That is enough. At that moment, the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with his sword drawn, reaching out over Jerusalem. So David and the leaders of Israel put on burlap to show their deep distress and fell face down on the ground. And David said to God, I am the one who called the census. I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. But these people are as innocent as sheep. What have they done, O Lord my God? Let your anger fall against me and my family. Do not destroy your people. Then the angel of the Lord told Gad to instruct David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David went up to do what the Lord had commanded him through Gad. Araunah, who was busy threshing wheat at the time, turned and saw the angel there. His 4 sons, who were with him, ran away and hid. When Araunah saw David approaching, he left his threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. David said to Araunah, Let me buy this threshing floor for its full price. Then I'll build an altar to the Lord here, so that he will stop the plague. Take it, my lord the king, and use it as you wish, Araunah said to David. I will give you the oxen for the burnt offerings, and the threshing boards for wood to build a fire on the altar, and wheat for the grain offering. I will give it all to you. But the king replied to Araunah, No, I insist on buying it for the full price. I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. I will not present burnt offerings that have cost me nothing. So David gave Araunah 600 pieces of silver in payment for the threshing floor. David built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. And when David prayed, the Lord answered him by fire from heaven to burn up the offering on the altar. Then the Lord spoke to the angel who put the sword back in its sheath. When David saw that the Lord had answered his prayer, he offered sacrifices there at Araunah's threshing floor. At that time, the tabernacle of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering that Moses had made in the wilderness were located in the place of worship in Gibeon. But David was not able to go there to inquire of God, because he was terrified by the drawn sword of the angel of the Lord. Psalm 30, a psalm of David, a song for the dedication of the temple. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may come through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I was prosperous, I said, nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, makes me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will I gain if I die, if I sink into the grave? Can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. First Thessalonians chapter 2. You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you, and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we are not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we've never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers in God's churches in Judea, who because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people, the Jews. For some of the Jews killed the prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus. Now they have persecuted us too. They fail to please God and work against all humanity as they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. By doing this, they continue to pile up their sins, but the anger of God has caught up with them at last. Dear brothers and sisters, after we are separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again. but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before the Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes. You are our pride and joy. And now may our risen Lord, who gives us joy, may he now give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. In today's reading in 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, we have two books and authors telling the story of David taking a census. And as you will notice, this is one of several occasions in the Bible where we are confronted with a contradiction in the information within the story. In one rendition of the text, God made David take a census, and in the other, it tells us that Satan made David take the census. Well, put simply, this is a contradiction. This contradiction doesn't mean that the Bible's not inspired or authoritative in what it's doing. Are there factual inconsistencies and contradictions in the Bible? Yes, we've just seen that. But the Bible's not trying to be a divine reference book. It's doing something else. This can be a problem for some people, because for some to acknowledge this is to put the authority of the Bible into question. I don't see it that way. And I want to encourage you to not be afraid of reading the Bible on its own terms. Factual contradictions and all. If you're going to read through the Bible, you'll have to grapple with what it says and what people say about what it says. And that's okay. That's just a part of growing in your faith. Many Christians simply don't read their Bible and are content just to believe what they're told about the Bible. So let me commend you for stepping into deeper waters and learning more of what the Bible is doing and how it is used in our life as disciples. There are factual inconsistencies that are obvious, like in today's reading, and a divine reference book approach will see these as weak links in a chain that must be glossed over or explained away or ignored. Otherwise, the Bible's authority is undermined and a crisis of faith awaits. That does not need to be the case, because that's not what the Bible is doing. It's not being a divine reference book. And we could, and we can, and should read the Bible on its own terms. We must understand the Bible for what it is doing. The Bible is pointing us to the God who is love. And the Bible is inviting us and the world into the community and the story of the God who is love. The Bible has been recognized by God's people through history because its words, its teaching, its stories reveal what it means to be a part of the divine community and to live your life in relationship with God and the story of his love. The Bible has authority because it tells us of the God who loves the world. Do each of today's contradictory accounts of David and the census tell of a God who is merciful and loving in the end? I would argue that they do. Each author of these two stories has their own more specific reason for writing their account in the way that they did. And it was important that each one of these accounts was told the way that it was to their specific communities. And God's people have recognized their larger role in speaking to us today. Even though these factual accounts differ, they are both driving us to a larger point. That God is merciful, and God is the authority and the source of life for his people. Christ is our authority, and he has authorized the Bible to tell his story of love. And may God lead us into his life of love as we listen to his word each day, allowing the Holy Spirit to shape us and mold us to be more like him. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. That's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife and my daughters, my son, And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, hey, I want to thank you guys for hanging with me through today's devotional. It was a different kind of devotional than I normally give. But as we go through the Bible, these are some of the things we grapple with. And I feel a certain responsibility to not only to seek to inspire you each day or to encourage and strengthen you, but to instruct, to teach. So thank you for giving me that privilege. Well, hey, before I let you go, a couple things here. First is this. You know, we have a referral program. You'll find it in the show notes. There's a link there that you can use to pass on to your friends, to your community. And that link lets me know when someone you referred to the podcast actually listens in. When one of your referrals listens, I'm able to give you a shout out on the podcast and say thank you. And if you have 10 people who listen in, I'll actually send you a You Are Loved t-shirt. And I know you want that t-shirt. So join in on the fun and share the podcast with the people in your life. Most of you here today are here because somebody invited you. And for many of you, that person that invited you had no idea how badly you needed to be a part of this. Your referrals to others can truly be a life-giving, hope-giving opportunity, a way for you to partner with what God is seeking to do in the life of your loved ones and friends. So join in and share the word. And again, use the link so we can tell you thank you and maybe even give you a t-shirt. Speaking of some folks that have been referring others to the podcast, I want to send a big shout out to Joy Leggett, to my old friends Kim and Ron from Bayou Vista, to Jess, Kevin Whitlock, Rose Carenza, and Joy Linda Chimbumu. Thank you so much for sharing that link, for sharing this podcast with the people in your life. And the last thing I want to do is say thank you to all of you out there for being a part of this community, for the way that you pray for, encourage, and support Heather and myself. Your generous giving and prayer makes this possible, so thank you so much. If you would like to partner with this ministry, you certainly can. All you have to do is head on over to the webpage and click on the donate link, and you will be on your way. Well, I'm going to be on my way now, but what do you say we show up again here tomorrow, and we'll do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I plan on being right here again in the Tin Can Turtle, the Airstream trailer, the mobile studio, and abode of Heather, myself, and the wonder dog, Finn. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.